Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And there is an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to destroy Christian civilization. That's why the Masons, who controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971, in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1, took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and Christmas and Easter. And the whole idea was to destroy the Christian faith of our people. And they've done a very, very good job of it. Of course, their friends and associates have infiltrated our seminaries and changed the teaching in Catholic seminaries and in Protestant seminaries. And they've changed the music and the message of our Christian churches today and changed the very nature of God, at least as we should know it. And tragically, America is on the downhill slope because the America that I was raised in no longer exists. It didn't happen by accident. It happened part of a carefully coordinated effort. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get the book. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, because nothing going on today happened by accident. Well, with us this evening is our good friend, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who's been on the front lines of this battle for many years. We've interviewed him many times on many different subjects, but tonight we're going to be talking to Michael about, I believe, about the threat of the Islamic world. Michael, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. I'm getting some feed in from another line somehow. I hope you can understand me. I can understand you. I just don't want to.
We're not coming through very well.
No, you're coming through fine now. So
okay, fine. So if you have a problem, let us know. Okay. And we'll call you back again. But let's go right ahead. And so you've written a new book on Islam and the threat of Islam.
Yes, it is. It's called Radical Islam in the Yard. Or scratched out and replaced with In the House. And basically, it started out as a series of articles that we were writing, and it became very clear real quick that this was a book. I mean, it's just something that people have to be able to understand what's going on. I mean, we're really, really under threat from Islam. And what's happening this month just adds to that overall picture of a threat to the American system, to the Constitution of the United States, to everything that we believe and hold near to.
You go right ahead.
Okay. Well, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that Obama is very, very, well, I think you've seen enough to realize that he is very pro-Islam. Well, he's more than pro-Islam. He's basically turned the Islamic policy of the federal government over to the Islamists. And when I say Islamists, I mean Islamists. These are not neutral individuals and so forth just trying to promote the good name of Islam. These are radical Islamists that are in the White House defining exactly what kind of policy the United States of America is going to have. And unless you understand that, and unless you understand the threat, we could be broadsided very soon with a forced Islamic state that we just didn't see coming.
Well, let me just suggest to our listeners, if you're out there and you'd like to verify that President Obama is pro-Islam, just go up and type in YouTube, President Obama, and then in quotation marks, my Muslim faith. If you can't find it there, you can find it on my website under other videos around the web. But I'm sure you can get it on YouTube. I simply, President Obama, my Muslim faith on YouTube, and you can actually hear this. There's no question. Yes. I heard him say that, and basically he was corrected by the fellow who was interviewing me. Oh, he corrected, yes, my Christian faith. I'm so glad John McCain didn't comment on my Christian faith. Why would John McCain comment on his Christian faith? Because he's not a Christian. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Kaufman is simply saying that Facebook or Twitter or anything you say on the Internet is derogatory of Islam. You could certainly get into real trouble on. There's an organized effort on the part of the government now to come down very hard on those who are critical of Islam. Now, it's all right to be critical of it. Of Christianity and of Jesus Christ and of the various sects of Christianity. You can't even have Christmas certainly mentioned in prayer in school. During the recent tornado, one of the ministers said, or one of the teachers who was protecting the children commented that she wasn't supposed to pray when the tornado was bearing down on them, but she did it anyway because she wanted to protect the children. But you're not supposed to. It's against the law to pray in school, even with a tornado coming. I'm surprised she hasn't been taken out and crucified for actually admitting that she had prayer to protect the children. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a world gone mad. And it is said in the scriptures, with the Spirit of the Lord, that there is liberty. Well, they're taking the Spirit of the Lord out of America. They're doing it very intentionally and very purposely. The new Pope, Pope Francis, has said publicly that we all worship the same God. We worship the same God as the Muslims do. What do you mean we worship the same God as the Muslims? They worship Allah. The Pope has said that is the same God that the Christians worship. Well, maybe he worships the same God that the Muslims do, but that's not the God that I or the majority of the Catholics in America worship. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, the other thing, too, and I want to get back to the reference to the Bible and so forth, because it's extremely important that the listeners understand where Islam stands in the Bible. But before I do that, I just want to mention this 9/11 report that was done by Congress had over 400 mentions of the word enemy, jihad, Muslim, Muslim Brotherhood, religious, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Caliph, Sharia, and so forth. It had over 400 mentions of those particular words. They put a Muslim in charge of the actual FBI training manual. And in the FBI training manual, they took out 900 pages. And none of those 900 pages have only three mentions of religious. That's the word, religious. No mention of jihad, no mention of Muslims, no mention of Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, we're seeing publications almost every day coming out of the progressive media as well as the White House that somehow the Muslim Brotherhood is very innocuous as a secular organization, folks. Don't believe it. It is every bit as violent as it has ever been. Now, the one thing that is different between the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda is that Al-Qaeda believes in violence to achieve this end. The Muslim Brotherhood believes in stealth. But when it comes to a certain point, the Muslim Brotherhood would be every bit as violent as the Al-Qaeda could ever hope to be. In fact, they have received documentation and so forth that show that the Muslim Brotherhood is very, very close to reaching that point where they will start to introduce violence into the United States in order to cross that final barrier into an Islamic state. They actually expect, there's been publications over in Egypt and so forth, where they expect the United States will be a Muslim country by the time Obama leaves office. It's unbelievable. It is literally unbelievable what they are doing. And the fact that if the White House doesn't know this, then we are totally blind and inept. And it's just like all of these various scandals that are going on and so forth, and people get called before Congress and they know nothing. They're just as ignorant as and blind as bats. Well, either they're totally inept and shouldn't be in office, shouldn't be in those positions at all, or they're lying through their teeth. And one of the things about Islam that you must understand, if you don't already, is that they are taught to lie, just like progressives are taught to lie. You never know what if they're telling you the truth or not. In fact, the Islamists basically is called taqiyya lying. They're allowed to and encouraged to lie any way necessary to advance Islam within foreign countries and so forth, non-Islam, Muslim people. And they do. It's stunning the magnitude of what they do. If you actually look at the Morsi, the Egyptian president, what he tells his people in Egypt, basically, versus what he says in English, are two radically different things. He condemns the United States. He says the United States will be destroyed when he's speaking in Arabic. But when he's speaking in English, he's saying how great this alliance is with the United States and all the rest, so he can get his F-16s and that type of thing. And it's $4 billion, and you can go on and on and on.
Now, you're speaking of Morsi in Egypt?
Egypt, yes.
Right, okay. So our listeners understand you're talking about Morsi, and Chris, he's the fellow from the Muslim Brotherhood that we actually installed, we're backing, we're giving him all billions of dollars. Here's a man from the Muslim Brotherhood that is a militant organization that is dedicated to the destruction of America. So why are we giving him billions of dollars? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to suggest that we are purchasing the best enemy money could buy, just like we did with the Nazis. Now it's just deja vu all over again. We're doing the same thing with the Muslims. We have to have an enemy to justify expanding the power of the government over our lives. And the people look to the government saying, protect us from those wicked Muslims who threaten us without ever understanding that those wicked Muslims who threaten us are being funded with our tax money. Go right ahead, Mel. Would you disagree or disagree?
Oh, absolutely. I do agree. You can't overstate the danger that we're in right now and how much lying and cheating and everything else is going on, both within the Obama administration about Islam, also everything else, but we're talking about Islam tonight, and basically, what we're seeing here is a stealth approach to destroy the United States and make it a part of the global caliphate that they hope to have very, very soon. One of the things that the Muslim Brotherhood says is that they are literally establishing this powerful organization here in the United States and penetrating the government. And they have said, and this is a quote, the children of America, the Muslim Brotherhood branch will have a far-reaching impact in positions that make the ancestors proud. They are employing or instituting the American Jihad. You can't get much clearer than that. You literally cannot get that much clearer. That's what their intent is. Don't believe anything else, because it is, it's an extremely dangerous situation right now. We talk about progressives and we talk about the New World Order and so forth. But a lot of us know quite a bit about that. But most of us don't understand the threat from Islam all that much, and that makes it much worse.
Well, Michael, I've actually heard that in certain of our schools, the children are required to come to school dressed up like Muslims, yeah, and to read the Quran and even to write out or mutter Muslim prayers in the fashion of the Islamists. Why would they be doing that in our schools to our school children when they can't mention the name of Jesus Christ in our schools?
That is so true. So true, Dr. Stan. Why can they get away with promoting Islam in schools, and you can't say one word about Christianity without getting punished in some form or another? It is so blatant that it should be obvious to everyone. But we have basically, I'm believing, and you indicated earlier in the conversation, that we have a nation now that is in a full-blown state of delusion, that we have basically accepted the enemy. And as a consequence, you know what you have, what you accept when you accept the father of lies. It basically, you live in a state of delusion. You are lied to and you accept the lie. And that's the only thing that can explain what we're seeing with our eyes, where the truth becomes a lie and the lie becomes the truth.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for our guest this evening, Dr. Michael Kaufman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this appears to be just so remote. I mean, this could never happen in America. And I would like to suggest, if God is just, why don't you think he's going to bring his judgment on this country and on the Christians of this country who don't have the courage to speak out? I was just reading an article in the New York Times about a program of torturing people, torturing them to death in Afghanistan under the auspices of the Special Forces and people employed by the Special Forces, beating people and beating them to death, cutting off both of their feet. And I have the article. I'd be glad to make a copy of it for anybody who wants to see it. And basically, it's 17 people that disappeared from this Afghan community. And of course, they said that the Americans had killed them and tortured them to death, or had their people torture them. But where is the call by our ministers to do something about it, to investigate it, to find if it's true, or even to be critical of the idea of torturing people to death? In fact, after 9/11, why a man was put on trial, some of the military put on trial here for torturing an Iraqi general to death. And basically, he said, I didn't mean for him to die. He just had a heart attack when we were torturing him. And when this American officer was acquitted, why, of course, the people in the audience broke into cheers of joy. Ladies and gentlemen, something's wrong with America. Go right ahead, Michael.
It certainly is. It really is. And I've decided, basically, we pray every night at 9 o'clock for this nation, our leaders, that we have a great revival across this country, because I'm convinced in my own mind that to win this war, we have to have a mass revival that this world has never seen before, because we are living in a state of deception.
I agree with you totally. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for Dr. Michael Kaufman, what's the title of your book, Michael?
It's called Radical Islam in the Yard. That's scratched out and replaced with In the House. With a picture of the White House with the Muslim flag over it.
Okay, we'll be back. And if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of diseases, free of well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Michael Kaufman, Dr. Michael Kaufman. And Michael, you go right ahead. You were talking to us certainly about the very real threat of the Muslim faith here in America being aided and abetted by the powerful forces here in America. And of course, basically, people find it impossible to believe that they would be pushing Sharia law here in America. And yet, of course, many places in Europe, why, of course, Sharia law supersedes regular European law. They do this in England and France and even in areas of America. In Michigan, I've heard that actually, basically, in local areas, they practice Sharia law. And everybody is afraid to go in or really try to even challenge that. But, Michael, you pick up the story of the very real threat to the survival of Christian civilization.
one of the things that I think confused a lot of Americans back during the campaign in 2008 and so forth, is, and then right after he became president, Obama took this tour around the world, the apology tour, we call it, and he bowed to the Saudi prince. And that had everybody confused. And one of the things that you have to understand is that the Obama family in Kenya are all Wahhabis, which is, of course, in Saudi Arabia. And basically, that is the most feral of all of the various sects of Islam, besides the nut house that you see in Iran right now. But nonetheless, Saudi Arabia has the most virulent form of Islam, and it is very, very, very strict. When you go to Saudi Arabia, you cannot mention anything about Christianity or anything else. The rights of women are non-existent. You can go right down the list of Sharia law and so forth, and they probably observe it the most. And it was the Wahhabis that were active in 9/11 itself. That's where Al-Qaeda was born, is in the Wahhabi religion, and they just became violent rather than tried to use stealth. The only difference, that's the only difference. And all of Obama's relatives in Kenya are Wahhabis. And we go into great detail describing how they have basically infiltrated the various cultures and so forth in Kenya, how they interact with the royal family in Saudi Arabia and so forth, and actually are implementing this kind of indoctrination into colleges and so forth in Kenya. But the key, I think, is more than anything else, is that the Egyptian press back in 2008, well before the election, probably before Obama was even almost a shoe-in, the publications in Egypt were carrying stories that they would have a Muslim in the White House within a year. And incredibly, even after that, there is the foreign minister of Egypt said that he's had a talk with Obama. And this is one thing we haven't verified yet, so take it for what it's worth. You have to understand these people lie on everything. So this could be a lie. It could be a deception. But one of the things that he had said was that Obama told him personally that he was a Muslim, just like he said in the YouTube video that you referenced, Stan. And not only that, but Obama told him he had this health care thing that he had to get resolved. And as soon as he did that, the Muslim world would really understand how much he is bent on actually implementing Islam. Just a few months after the vote on the health care plan, you saw Obama suggesting that they redo the boundaries of Israel back to the 1974 boundaries, which is indefensible for Israel. It stunned everyone. What was he doing? Why would he even consider saying that? He was telling the Muslim world that he was with them. There's no other way you can describe it other than the fact that he is going to support Islam no matter what.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Is the Islamic faith a danger to America? Well, did you ever think that they would ever forcibly take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools? Or they would create a wall of separation between church and state, which was not in the Constitution? And the amazing thing is that certainly you had a corrupt Supreme Court to put that in. But why has nobody ever challenged that? Why has it never been brought up again when today we have either five or six Catholics on the Supreme Court? And there's a very definite reason, because behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. You look at this politically or culturally, no, you shouldn't. You look at it spiritually, and you'll understand it's all about the destruction of Christianity. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and they want to take away the Spirit of the Lord. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Give us a call right here at Radio Liberty. Love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just went during the brief break, I went up on the internet and typed in, suddenly a YouTube Obama, my Muslim faith. YouTube Obama, my Muslim faith, and you find three or four references there, and you'll actually see the clip where President Obama is talking about how pleased he is that John McCain hasn't attacked his Muslim faith. This is 1988 when President Obama was running for president, and the gentleman with him says, oh, you mean your Christian faith? And President Obama, without flinching, said, oh, yes, my Christian faith. Well, why would certainly John McCain attack President Obama's Christian faith? And, of course, it wasn't that at all. He just slipped and let out that he was a Muslim. But we can't let the American people know that. They're just sort of old-fashioned, and most of them would not want a Muslim president. And yet, of course, the Saudis had said before the election that they were going to have a Muslim in the White House. They knew. And subsequently, of course, when President Obama went to Saudi Arabia, he bowed down before the Saudi king. And after that, there was a tremendous outcry in our media. Why would the American president bow down before the Saudi king? And, of course, President Obama's representative, press secretary, said, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. This is all a lie. President Obama did not die to bow down before the Saudi king. Well, he said he'd just go up on the internet and type in YouTube. President Obama bows to Saudi king, or you'll find that on my website as well, and I section under other videos around the web. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's an organized effort to conceal the fact that President Obama is a Muslim, and he is carrying out the Muslim programs, and he's putting Muslims into key positions in our government. And the great tragedy is the average American has literally no knowledge or understanding about what's really taking place in either America or the world today, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and we're losing that battle. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest, Dr. Michael Kaufman. Michael, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get your book, and then go right ahead with your story.
Well, the book, both Plundered, Understanding How the Progressive Ideology is Destroying America, as well as our new book, Radical Islam in the House, is also on, you know, AmericaPlundered.com. Both books are listed there. You can read about them and order them there if you want to. It's one that we're giving a discount, I think about 20% or something off of the retail price. And I don't normally like to trumpet my own work and so forth, but I think we are seeing the fruits of progressivism literally destroy Europe as we're sitting here talking, and we're seeing how Islam is going to destroy the United States if we don't wise up and realize what's going on and put a stop to it. I don't know the Muslim heart. Any Muslim you see on the street could be very honest that they...
Michael, are you there? Well, it looks like maybe the Muslims got hold of our broadcast here. Michael, you're not there. I'm going to ask my producer to call him right back. So, Sidney Rich, if you wouldn't mind calling Dr. Kaufman back again, and hopefully we'll have him here in just a moment. But it's amazing how things like that happen. I mean, who would actually come on and cut off a program here from Little Radio Liberty? If you just go ahead and call Dr. Kaufman back, please. Mitch, call Dr. Kaufman back again. We do want to get him back on again. And why he got cut off, maybe it was just an act of God, or maybe it was an act of Allah, or maybe somebody did it. We'll never know. But under any circumstances, why, of course, it's not very popular today to speak out against the real danger of the Muslim threat in America. And yet, of course, if you study the Quran, you find out that it's perfectly acceptable for Muslims to actually lie. It's perfectly acceptable for them to lie as long as they're pursuing the ultimate Muslim goal of a world domination. And of course, they talk to you about wanting world peace, and they do want world peace, but they want a Muslim world peace, and they want the Islamic faith to control the world. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is certainly Dr. Michael Kaufman. And we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, they're having a little trouble getting Dr. Michael Kaufman back again. So if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll have to do open lines until we get Dr. Kaufman back on the line here. But I think you really understand, most people don't want to talk about the fact that we could actually have a tremendous Muslim influence here in the United States. So we have a Muslim living in the White House, but I challenge you to go up on the internet, type in YouTube, Obama, My Muslim Faith. YouTube, Obama, My Muslim Faith, and you'll find out what I'm telling you is absolutely true. Or YouTube, Obama, bows to King Saudi Arabia, or bows to Saudi Arabian King, and you'll find these things are really happening. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd love to have you give us a call. We're going to be doing open lines. I don't know what happened to Dr. Kaufman, but we're just having a difficulty getting back on the line, and I hope he's safe. But then, of course, we should pray for Dr. Kaufman as well. He's a good patriot. And, of course, we do hope you're out there and you're praying on a regular basis for revival in America, and even more than that, that you're praying certainly for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and John Loeffler and Noah Hutchings and the other people on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. But if you're in a position, of course, to pray for Radio Liberty, why we would covet your prayers, because this is the thing that's keeping us going and I believe is protecting us. I've had a number of my friends who've actually been involved in this battle, who've met mysterious demises, a number of the people who've been guests on my program, who suddenly disappeared or died shortly thereafter, a number of the people that we have actually had as guests. Well, let's go to Grant, who's calling in there. And hi, Grant, where are you calling from?
Spokane, Washington.
Okay, good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, just a quick comment on the phone call being cut off. I talked to a young friend of mine about 3 weeks ago, and they'd been talking on the phone with somebody on a controversial topic, and their line went dead. I thought that was interesting, and that happened to me about 2 weeks ago, and it happened just the other day. So apparently they can hone in on the line that you're calling on and just decide to end the conversation.
No, not only that, but today on one of my telephone conversations, why I could hear my own voice coming back as I was doing it, there was an echo on the line, as if somebody was actually listening in on the conversation, and I could hear the echo of my own remarks. So you have to understand they have an extensive system of spying on people across America. It's a Project Echelon, certainly, and the FBI has a program which they certainly have a system of informants, literally tens of thousands of paid informants out there. Your best friend could be an informant. They've infiltrated most of our conservative organizations, most of certainly liberal organizations, most of our religious organizations. And if a minister dares to get up and be critical of what's going on in the world today, why, he'll lose his position in the church. And I know this has happened to a number of the people who've listened to our program and had the courage to speak out from the pulpit. Anything else you want to say, Grant, before we let you go?
Well, yeah, I'm just sort of curious because all of this seems to have happened after the Boston issue and they passed, I don't know, in my personal experience, after they passed the cybersecurity thing, just a couple of days after the Boston thing.
Well, Grant, this project goes back to Project Echelon, where, of course, they actually started taking it down. Everything that went up, certainly electronically into satellite or anything that went up by e-phone, and this goes back 30 years, Project Echelon, Echelon. You can even pull it down off the internet, and now they have much more extensive files. They record every telephone conversation, every email, and every fax, and this much antedated, antedated the 9/11 attack has nothing to do with 9/11. That was the excuse so that they could, first of all, justify going to war with Afghanistan, but second, so they could increase their monitoring of the American people under the guise we're protecting you from the wicked terrorists who are indeed our financing. We're financing. We've financed the terrorists since the inception of this movement. Anything else you want to say before we let you go, Grant?
Yes. Really, with that Project Echelon, the other night, I think you had somebody talking about something called Operation Stellar Wind. Is that correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
And do you know the spelling of it? Is that
S-T-E-L-L-A-R Wind? Yes, Stellar Wind.
Okay. And that dealt mainly with banking records?
I'm not really certain. I wouldn't want to comment on that.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
well, thank you very much. I had a personal experience with a phone call being cut off, so I thought I'd pass that on, and other people may have been having the same thing happen to them.
Okay, thank you very much, Grant, and let's go to, we've got Ron calling from Washington State. Hi, Ron, how are we doing? Do you have a question or comment?
Well, a comment. I've substituted in the schools a number of times, and I've had the pleasure of teaching a number of Muslim students.
Well, basically, I'm sure, a lot of the students, I sure, are nice people. A lot of them really certainly came to America because they want to get away from the oppressive Wahhabi religion. What are your thoughts?
I don't know if that was the case at all, but I've had one fellow, very diligent guy. He had a bunch of questions about the Constitution, so I told him to come back after school, which he did, and I stayed after school myself, and together we went through, I gave him a copy of the Constitution. We went through the Constitution, and we answered all the questions. Not only did we answer the questions, so I gave him the article and section where you could find the answer. So, and he was very interested in it. I have to be real careful because I've gotten in trouble before, and I have to be careful about some of the things I said. I would like to just point him out how biblically based many of our regulations are, especially when you go back. Our very first one is the freedom of religion. Let each man work out his own salvation in fear and trembling. In fact, Jesus never forced anybody to believe. It would be nice to be able to show that. I kind of feel a little constrained that I don't want to do that. I don't want to get in trouble. If I get in trouble, then they won't be back. So I have to be a little
discreet. I certainly understand that. But basically, I think we can very clearly point out that the preamble to the Constitution is really the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
And in the second paragraph, they say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And of course, when they did that, they were talking about certainly Jesus Christ, because we were a Christian nation. Almost everybody was a Christian at that time. Certainly some were Quakers and some were certainly Presbyterians and some were Congregationalists, but they were all Christians. And when they talked about the Creator, everybody knew this was the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically, it was based upon this idea that our freedoms came from God, that we were able to establish a constitution by limiting the power of the government. Because you're either going to be ruled by government or you're going to be ruled by God. And if people cannot rule themselves under God's direction, then you're going to have an all-powerful government. And the beauty of the American form of government was that we limited the power of God, but we limited the power of government so men could be free. And it was a unique idea. And it's just a shame we never teach that in our schools today.
Well, I've had the opportunity to bring that up. It depends on what the class I'm teaching. But I wish
that your message could get out all across the state of Washington there.
Well, I was teaching one class, and I happened to bring some of this up, and I happened to have some constitutions with me, and the kids wanted it. And one girl was very intrigued by one of the statements of that she found in there. It was out of the Federalist Papers. In fact, I will give it to you very quickly. If you would hang on just a second, I can probably find it for you. But here it is. It took me a second.
I'm going to have to let you go, Ron, because I our regular speaker, Michael, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, this is what she said. This is what it said. Hang on a second.
I'm going
to
ask.
Yeah, that's it. This is, she was. She said, "If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this: you must first enable the government to control the governed, and at the same time, place the government under control itself."
We're going to have to let you go. I got a call back. But thanks very much. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Michael. Are you there?
I am.
Okay,
he was making a good point there.
Okay, go right ahead. And I'm going to have
I'm not sure where I lost the connection.
Well, we were talking certainly about the Muslim influence at every level of our society. And I'm going to ask my producer to tell Bruce, who's calling from Michigan, that we're not going to be able to get to him this evening. We've run out of time. But you go right ahead, Michael.
I'll make this quick because it will take too long if I went through the whole thing again. Talking about the comparison between the Bible and the Quran, almost anything that the Quran says is good, the Bible says is evil. Almost everything. It's beyond belief when you get into this.
Sorry, what is the source of that thought?
It's Satan. In fact, let me just give you the key verse or the key thing. There are six statements of Allah's beautiful name. That's what they call it, the beautiful name, which is, it says that Allah is the greatest of all deceivers. Well, who is the great deceiver in the Bible? It's Satan.
Surely.
And everything else that goes along with it. Allah is the God of war in the Quran. Jesus is the God of love. The only one who is the God of war is the Antichrist. You go on and on and on with this, and there are many, 42 to be exact, references of either Allah, the Quran, or Muhammad that are exact opposites of what you find in the Bible.
One more time, the title of your book and where people can get it.
It's Radical Islam at the Door, with the at the door scratched out and replaced with In the House. And you can get it at AmericaPlundered.com.
One more time, America what?
AmericaPlundered.com.
AmericaPlundered.com. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. I can tell you, Michael Kaufman wrote the book. It's a great book.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you say. Being free of diseases, free of well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess is Michael Kaufman. Michael, God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you on all the programs very soon.
Thanks, Stan.
Bye-bye. And of course, Dr. Kaufman is talking about the importance of prayer. And he says that he and his wife pray at 9 o'clock every evening. And I think that this is something that we're going to have to start doing. And basically, if you're out there in the listening audience, let me suggest that you start praying on a regular basis sometime in the evening with your family. It doesn't take a long time, but just to pray that God will simply bring revival to America. because I am firmly convinced that the only weapon we have is nothing that we do. I certainly, although we should be active, and I will continue doing what I'm doing. But I think that prayer is certainly one of our greatest weapons. It's a very little understood or certainly used weapon. So basically, of course, we hope that many of you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you don't understand the spiritual implications of what's going on today, call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and get a copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. We have a 4-CD set on satanic crimes, and we actually have a book written by our good friend William Kennedy on satanic crimes. These are not imaginary. Some of the most widely known crimes in America, the Manson crimes, certainly Sharon Tate murder and the others, these are all carried out certainly by people who are involved with Satanism, certainly the son of Sam killer. Was actually involved with Satanism. They were both involved, both Charles Manson and the son of Sam Keller were involved with something called the Process Church of the Latter-day Saints. The Process Church of the Latter-day Saints. And the fact that you have never heard of this simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. So our plea with you, of course, is to begin to understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Certainly, we encourage people to get Tom Horn's books. Petrus Romanus, it's Petrus Romanus. Why? Because it goes into the fact that the current pope may very well be, and according to Catholic prophecy, not Protestant prophecy, but Catholic prophecy, this will be the last pope. Is that true? I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But things are moving at a very, very rapid rate. And so we ask you to, of course, to at least consider Tom Horn's excellent book, Petrus Romanus. And it goes into the prophecies of St. Malachi, going back to the 1100s, outlawing who all the popes were going to be in the future, and down to 111 popes and the 112th pope. Would be, of course, the last pope who would actually be working very closely with the dark forces. And why would the current pope suddenly be actually advocating that we need a one world religion? Why would the current pope be suddenly suggesting that we all worship the same God? Well, I don't know. I do not worship the God of Allah or Buddha or Confucian. Now, maybe Pope Francis does. Why would he make that statement? Ladies and gentlemen, there are powerful forces that have been at work in the Catholic Church for many years. And if you doubt that, we have a 4-CD set. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And we knew Malachi. We interviewed him. We put together a wonderful 4-CD set. If you want to understand what's going on in the Catholic Church today, you need to get this 4-CD set. And if you're Catholic or Protestant, it doesn't matter. We all worship, I believe, the same God. We have different forms of doing it. And I'm a Protestant because I believe that, of course, that I can have a personal relationship with God without having to go through the structure of a church. But unfortunately, there's another God that has infiltrated the Catholic Church. And that's why you need to get the 4-CD set by Father Malachi Martin. Call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for Radio Liberty.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful. Yeah. and beside her, and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, white with gold. Oh, bless the
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christians and Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And this evening we have with us our good friend Barry Shamish. But we're going to have a program where I may very well disagree with some of Barry's conclusions, but I'm not about to tell him he can't believe what he does, and we've never tried to convert him to Christianity. That, of course, between he and his decision. He has to be and believe in what he believes in. He is a Jewish individual. He's dedicated to the Jewish faith and certainly the Jewish nation. And for 30 years, he worked over there in Israel as an investigative reporter, covering the corruption that exists at the highest level of the Israeli government. And because he was getting very, very close to what I consider the devil's heartbeat, there was threats against his life, and he was forced to leave the country. He's living here in America, and we try to get him on a regular basis to keep us abreast of the things that are happening in Israel today. Because behind everything going on in Israel, of course in America as well, are powerful spiritual forces. Well, without further ado, Barry, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Sure. I have a bit of a cold today, so you'll forgive that. I noticed you began with Petrus Romanus and Tom Horn and stuff. I'm going to get into that, and I don't think it's really an issue of, you know, what we believe and not believe in. Stuff like that. And as a matter of fact, Chris Putnam and I are going on a radio show on Thursday where he's going, I assume, explain one serious boo-boo in the book. But I want to start with what is going on around Israel. My goodness.
Well, I think that's really, I want you to cover that because there's so many things happening over there. We have one of our friends who is there, and she was telling me that she's trying to get a new gas mask, basically. There are threats of new and more deadly forms of gas, and certainly many of the people there are getting new gas masks. They're really concerned about the very real possibility of a chemical attack on Israel. The people who are living there are making preparations for it and preparations for safety in case of rocket attacks. So basically, Israel is certainly a nation that is basically on the front lines of a very real battle for its very survival. Here in America, we can't even imagine that sort of thing. We live in a wonderful utopia. Nothing really threatens us much. Oh, we have some storms and things, but nothing like the people of Israel today. Pick up the story, Barry.
Oh, well, that's a separate story. Yeah, there's all kinds of escape routes to Samaria. Believe it or not, to Samaria from the coastal region. There's all kinds of that stuff going on. That's for darn sure. And it's a very scary situation, but let's look at why. Now, I spoke about an attack on Damascus about 2.5 weeks ago, and we spoke about it on this show, and I just asked, why was there no retaliation?
Wait a minute. For our listeners, Barry's talking about when the Israelis actually bombed that area, basically, to take out weapons that they claim were going to be shipped to Hezbollah in Lebanon. Why, basically, the Israelis got away with it, and there was no retaliation on the part of Assad. And Barry said, well, why? I mean, here Israel attacks Syria, and even though, of course, basically buries on the side of Israel, he doesn't understand why Assad didn't certainly respond with a massive attack on Israel after certainly Israel had bombed a part of Damascus. Go ahead with the story.
Well, it was quite a bombing. Now, I watched the bombing from foreign TV, and they said there was the equivalent of a 5-point earthquake. Oops, I hear the music already.
Yeah, hold on, Tom. We'll be right back.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. In a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with gold. Barry is simply bringing out the question is, why after Israel attacked certainly Damascus and basically destroyed a fair amount of the material, other than in addition, of course, it took out some weapons that were there under the guise that they were trying to prevent them from being transferred to Hezbollah in Lebanon, why Assad didn't retaliate? And the one reason I enjoy Barry is because he asks leading questions that we all ought to be asking. Why didn't President Assad, the president of Syria, retaliate against Israel? Now, he said, well, if they do that one more time, I'm going to retaliate. But he could have retaliated, and he didn't. He could have sent missiles, and they have missiles that could have hit Tel Aviv or certainly other Jewish towns. And Assad chose not to retaliate against Israel, although he certainly is threatening to have major retaliation should it happen again. Pick up the story. We want your thoughts on that, Barry.
Well, of course, the attack on Damascus could have been upped. Obviously, he was Assad and Hezbollah, by the way. Hezbollah's got 60,000 missiles. I'll bet you a majority of them are aimed at central Israel, but they didn't attack. They didn't retaliate. Now, we're getting the reasons. Assad has been opening his mouth. Well, he told Nard.
Argentinian paper that the rebels, who are opposing him, of course, they attacked a radar station that was instrumental to Syria's anti-aircraft defenses against Israel, which, by the way, I'll bet he's telling the truth. Another issue, and again, an expert or not an expert, but I did spend 13 years in the Israeli Air Force as an anti-aircraft missile operator. I didn't think all that much of it at the time, but I can tell you that in Lebanon, my unit, we knocked down 3 planes, one missile, 2 cannons, during the Lebanon War of 82. Why wasn't an Israeli plane hurt? You know, Syria's got this fantastic anti-aircraft defense. Well, what Assad is claiming is the rebels knocked it out. But more than that, he says the Israelis are telling the rebels, well, a quote from him, Israel gives them logistical support, also tells them what to attack and how to attack.
And yet, of course, Barry, if you look at it completely objectively, Israel had always lived fairly well in peace with Assad. There were little minor conflicts, but nothing there. It wasn't to Assad's benefit to have a war with Israel. It wasn't to Israel's benefit to have a war with Syria. And yet, of course, if the rebels take over in Syria, the rebels will have access to the chemical weapons. They will have access to all the other weapons that are there. And these rebels are dedicated to the destruction of Israel. Now, why has Israel opened certainly medical clinics on the Golan Heights? And when the rebels are wounded, why they can come there, they can get medical care, and then be returned to the battle to fight Assad's troops? When it would be to Israel's benefit, I believe, to have the rebels defeated. So many things are going on, and nobody ever asks why. So you pick up the story.
Yeah, well, it's pretty complicated, but Assad has vowed that the next attack against Syria by Israel will result in a massive attack on central Israel. And as I said, it'll be messy, but nonetheless, Hezbollah can just shoot 3,000-5,000 missiles off all at the same time, and Israel's going to have a heck of a problem knocking down 3,000-5,000 missiles if they wanted a coordinated attack. Now, I guess that they were just so terrified by the impunity that the Israeli Air Force had against Damascus that they simply chickened out. But that's not what Assad. Assad is hopping mad. Now, I don't know what a T-Shrine missile is, but he's got lots and lots of them aimed at Tel Aviv. It's capable of carrying a warhead of half a ton. Now, again, why? I mean, this will just spread the word every which way. And, well, what can you say? Last time Israel chose to attack Damascus, nobody got their way, right? I mean, just outright, they attacked with impunity.
Well, Chris, now, I'll tell you what my view on this, Barry, for what it's worth, is the fact that Israel does what they are told to do. I believe that I do not believe, as so many people will tell you, that the Israelis run what goes on in Washington, D.C. through the Jewish lobby. I think the America tells the Israelis what to do. And I don't believe, of course, Israel would have attacked Syria without the go-ahead from America. I believe, of course, they wanted Assad to retaliate, and they would have a justification for American involvement. And Assad was too smart for that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. It's just one way of looking at it. But otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Assad should have retaliated. I mean, if somebody slaps you in the face, what's fine if he slaps you twice, and this was the second major attack on Syria, why you would retaliate? But what Assad has said, will you do that one more time? I think that he is not attacking and responding because he knows he'd be falling into the trap that is being laid not by Israel, but by the people, by the brotherhood that runs Washington, D.C., that wants a major war in that part of the world. But this is just my thought. What do you think? Am I right off or not?
Not a bad thought. I'm not. Look, America certainly controls Israel, and that's putting it mildly. Now,
I'm glad to hear you say that, because we have so many Americans who believe that Israel controls the United States with the Jewish lobby. And I try to tell them that that's not true. But, of course, people have their prejudices, and I can't change their mind. I can just talk and hope that they will at least listen and consider the wisdom of what I say. But go ahead.
Israel's been chopped up like a salami. What are you talking about? Israel used to be 44,000 square miles with the Sinai, and well, it's not anymore, okay? And by the way, the peace treaty for the Sinai, you may as well just throw it into the rubbish bin. You can't go there anymore. Well, anyone who thinks that really is not looking at the situation from Israel's point of view. Israel's really, really weak now. Now, look, the fact is Assad has publicly said, next time we do retaliate. Now, there's something very weird. There was a picture of an Israeli APC photographed coming into Lebanon from Syria and was all over the world. And it was an Israeli, look, I don't know why they didn't paint it something else, but that thing was an Israeli APC, and the Israelis said there are other explanations, and we don't know how it got there, but chances are that they really are cooperating with these rebels. But nonetheless, what Syria did, and it, by the way, this got a ton of publicity. They ordered, now you don't know, well, you may, but many of your listeners don't know what an S-300 anti-aircraft system is, but Assad paid billions. And it's being set up right now in Syria. Now,
for our listeners, that is coming from Russia. This is an anti-aircraft system. It's called the S-300, very, very effective anti-aircraft system, which would, of course, be very effective in neutralizing, certainly, the Israeli Air Force.
Unless Israel has an answer to that as well. But again, the Russians don't want Assad to fall. They need Latakia. It's their only Mediterranean port. They have an interest in seeing that he survived. So conceivably, there'll be Russians running it, and they'll try and knock down Israeli jets if they do it again, if they make another attack on Damascus.
Well, you know, as I look at this, basically, of course, people think that this is a civil war in Syria, but it's really simply a war that is being fought between outside forces, and Syria happens to be the area that is being destroyed. It's the old idea, when two elephants battle, why it's the grass that gets trampled. But on one side, you have Russia, you have Iran, you have Hezbollah. They're aligned with Syria, and there may even be some Chinese support there as well behind the scenes. Here, and of course, you can have it forces within Iraq that are very, very sympathetic to Syria. On our side, we have the United States. We have Israel, we have Saudi Arabia, we have Qatar, we have Britain and France, and now they're trying to bring NATO into this. So basically, of course, you have Syria being used as the area where the battle is being fought. But it's certainly, we are supplying the rebels, and of course, the Russians are financing Assad. We're not talking about that. We want you to think it has to do with the civil war, and the civil war is simply a front for the real battle that's taking place. Go ahead.
Well, what it comes down to is McCain went to Turkey and he met with the rebel leaders. We're now reaching the point that it's open. And the Americans are apparently, arming, okay, the rebels. Now, look, again, if Syria collapses, if Assad collapses, you're going to find that these are not the best people in the world to get the kind of weapons Assad's got. They'll use them. And look, the situation in the Middle East is really, really not good. One slip and Israel, look, in 2006, Hezbollah attacked Israel and they won. Northern Israel was looted of people. They all ran away. The next war could be even much, much worse.
Especially if they're using those missiles that they have.
Especially, it doesn't look good no matter how you look at it.
And basically, of course, the chemical weapons over there in Syria, if the rebels get hold of them, why, they'll use them against Israel. But perhaps if Israel attacks Syria again, Assad might use chemical weapons. I don't think that they would use the chemical weapons against Israel, but certainly the rebels would. They wouldn't hesitate at all. And yet these are the rebels we're financing, who hate Israel. Why would we be financing Israel at one time, at one point, and then financing Israel's enemies? So much of what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't make sense. But stop and think about it. Think about what's going on. That's the last thing they want you to do, is to think.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Gary, you go right ahead.
All righty. All right, the next subject is the one you were worried about, but frankly, it's getting good reaction. There's a certain amount of honesty. Well, I was on a messianic radio show, Dan Catlin, and he's having me and Chris Putnam on Thursday. Look, and by the way, I am not, slandering Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, but I am bringing a point that to me is important. Yeah, you got to be truthful about this right now. They have this book, Petrus Romanus. But, well, I interviewed Chris Putnam on my radio show last week, I believe. And I left this to the end. We had a nice interview, but he wrote in Petrus Romanus something so wrong, and it's causing so much damage. Now, I'm going to do the quote, and then we'll... Boy, was I in a good place to handle this one. All right, first the quote. Even the late Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, a popular Kabbalist who died in 2000, prompting 300,000 people to march in his funeral procession, came to this truth that Jesus is the Messiah. Sure, he did. In what can only be described as a bizarre twist of fate, he left a sealed message with strict orders for it to be opened 1 year after his funeral. The message named Jesus as the Messiah and said he would return shortly after Ariel Sharon dies. Whether this comes to pass or not, more and more Jews are beginning to acknowledge that Jesus must be the Messiah, for the Torah told true. There's not one word of truth in there. It's every word is a lie. And I just, first of all, more and more Jews are not acknowledging Jesus more and more. This is, you know, when I was in Israel, look, the settlers have an ally in the Christian Zionists, and they know it. And they don't have many allies in this world. Oh, boy, are they desperate for people to understand them. The world's abandoned the settlers, and basically, they've also abandoned all of Israel. So they played this game where they know the Christian Zionists are trying to convert them, and they hate it, but they also, and this is what they tell me all the time, that more Christian missionaries come to accept their Judaism than the opposite, so they put up with it. Now, look, they may have a point. And I know more than a few people living in the territories who arrived as Christians, and they saw their light. One example I always use, because Wendell Jones was an archaeologist. Well, he financed expeditions to find red heifers. And
well, I want you to hang on to that thought for just a minute as we bring all of our stations on.
Right.
And basically, of course, Barry is simply talking about Tom Horn's book, Petrus Romanus. Now, I know Tom Horn and Chris Putman, and basically I do not believe they would ever write something they didn't believe. But there is a rumor that's been present in Israel for some time that basically one of the leading rabbis of the Jewish faith had actually written a message and said it could be opened a year after he died, which apparently is true. He did write a message and was to be opened a year after he died. But of course, it is Chris and Tom's view that the message written in Hebrew said that Jesus is the Messiah and will return a year after Sharon's death. Well, those of you who don't know, Sharon is basically in a coma. He's still alive, but he's a so it will be some time before he dies. How soon, we have no idea. But of course,
he's waiting for a brain transplant.
But basically, of course, this is certainly a very infuriating thing for people who are true to the Jewish faith, because they don't like to think that one of the major Jewish leaders would have a conversion. And so basically, of course, it is Barry's contention that the Hebrew interpretation of what has been translated is wrong, that the man did not say that he had become a messianic Jew, or pardon me, that anyway, that that Jesus was the Messiah. But basically, Tom and Horn and Chris Putman had said that this is what the message said in Hebrew. I don't know either how fluent they are in Hebrew. I would not in a position to judge at all one way or the other. I do know they're honest people, but honest people can make mistakes. Barry very feels very strongly on the other side that the Jewish people, the Jewish settlers, the Jewish faith is under attack today. They need certainly the support of the evangelical Christians, and so they sort of put up with them. But basically, of course, they need help, support. They have no supporters in the world outside of the Christians here in the United States. But there's a bone of contention, because many of very, very sincere Jewish people are very resentful to the fact that Christians are out there trying to convert them and trying to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. So you pick up the story, Barry.
Well, it just comes down to the fact that the Jews don't play that game. The Christians try to convert Jews, but no Jew tries to convert Christians. But again, they're very insecure, these religious Jews. And again, the people who live in Judea and Samaria, they just figure they're getting a better deal out of it. And look, in the case of Wendell Jones, I know his daughter. She came to Israel to missionize, and she ended up on a settlement, Bethel Yericho, a very religious Jew. But let's go to where I was incredibly well placed. I don't even know. You know, in retrospect, I have a pretty interesting life. I suppose I'm old and I'm hurting, and I didn't recognize it back then. But during the 90s, Joel Bainerman and I, we worked together. We had a newsletter. This was before internet, which put an end to newsletters as a source of information. But Joel Bainerman and I were the editors of Inside Israel. Now, we had an incredible source in Yehoshua Meiri. Look, Meiri was, he was the Mariv correspondent for Cairo, Israel Broadcasting Authority correspondent in Cairo. He knew the Arab world tremendously. He supplied us with the details and the documents of the secret and criminal negotiations between Yossi Beilin, Shimon Peres, and the PLO, which led to the Oslo so-called peace. But it also led to a major article for me and Joel in the National Review. It was called The Paris Gambit. It was in March of 1997. Yehoshua Meiri was a really deep inside source and a secular one. Now, I don't know how it happened, but he became religious, and he became the closest advisor of Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri. I don't know. It just works out that way. Now, this rumor floating around that this Sephardic rabbi, by the way, in his life, he never contemplated Jesus. He was from Iraq. He was Sephardi, and he thought Jewish. Well, anyways, the rumor is floating before this message, which I'm about to interpret for you, was opened, that he had found Jesus. And I was on Yeshua's radio show. I believe that's, I hear the music.
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Well, I said to Yehoshua, I asked him about this, that Harav Kaduri, his rabbi, had found Jesus. Now this...
Hold that thought. We're going to have to leave that. We'll be back in a moment.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Go right ahead, Barry.
All righty. So, Yehoshua Meiri was his name, of course, was the last and closest advisor to Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri. And I asked him, by the way, these rumors were floating around in the year 2004 before this message. And I just asked Yehoshua if his rabbi had accepted Jesus. Now, this guy is very laid back. He really doesn't show anger, but he did then. He just said, Stuyuk, said a bunch of nonsense. Look, Chris replied by email, and I wrote him, and I said, I'll put you and Yehoshua Meiri on the same show. Joel Bainerman will translate for Yehoshua, and let's clear up these rumors. And, boy, Chris refused. All right, here's what he wrote me.
Well, okay, but do you ever stop to think that maybe he thinks that maybe this a friend of yours was not being entirely honest? But basically, what he believes. But anyway, go ahead.
He was. Listen, hear me out. What they've done to Rabbi Kaduri was, look, it was an abuse of the man. He was a rabbi, and he was not a messianic rabbi, far from it. Look, I wrote Chris this. He wrote me back. This story was widely carried. His advisor might be furious, but I think that is why Rabbi Kaduri asked that the message not be open until a year after his death. He knew many would react in answer, and then he sent me the note. Now, look, the note was very, very short. And it was pretty cryptic, but what he wrote, here is the note according to Chris. It hinted at greeting. Well, no, I'm going to tell you what I read in it. It certainly hinted at greeting of the first Jewish Messiah, certainly not Jesus. And I wrote that Chris back, and I said, you don't read Hebrew at all.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about isn't there a difference of opinion between Chris Putman, who wrote the book Petrus Romanus along with Tom Horn and Barry? And Barry, of course, is very upset because, of course, of a statement made in the book which Barry doesn't believe. And that is, they say, one of the leading Jewish Sephardic, I'm not going to say minister, a rabbi, a Jewish Sephardic rabbi had converted to Christianity, leaving a message when he died that the message was not to be open for a year. And at least, of course, Tom pardon me, at least Tom and Chris Putman had put in their book what so many people had talked about, had written about before the book was published. It wasn't just their view. It was the idea of many people that the rabbi had
been. Christians. No Jew believe this.
Okay, fine. Well, the Christians believe that anyway.
Well, they're taking a rabbi.
Go right ahead. Anyway, there's a disagreement, a very strong one between Barry and Chris Putman, and Barry said to Chris, you know, you can't even read this note that was written. It's written in Hebrew. And what did Chris say?
Oh, look at this. I wrote him. It said nothing of his translation except a Jew. Nothing like that. It was a vision of greeting the Jewish Messiah. Look, it's a bigger issue than a disagreement. I read it. It was mistranslated. Look, between us, we have got to work together. We really do. We don't have many allies, certainly not allies who want to preserve Israel in some sort of state. But this is a very bad idea to insist on Jewish conversion. The whole enterprise is doomed, especially if they continue with this. And, well, this is very wrong what he did. Here's what Chris replied to me. Actually, I do read biblical Hebrew. That was somebody else's text. It wasn't a translation. I don't know what he means by that. He called it a translation. What he did is he took a red marking pen and crossed out the last letters of the words, and there were not very many words, maybe six or seven, and it's an acrostic. The translation of the acrostic would read, concerning the abbreviation of the Messiah's name, he will raise the people and prove that his word and law are standing. This I have signed in the month of mercy, Yitzchak Kaduri. That's not exactly my translation. Mine was a lot shorter. But I replied, okay, I can live with that translation. And that cryptic message turned into Christ will arrive when Sharon dies? Now, Chris wrote me back, and now he was just, well, what can he say? This was no longer logical. Yes, he wrote. Yes. In other words, Kaduri didn't write anything about Jesus. He didn't write anything. The message was totally not Kaduri's thinking or his thoughts, but here's what he writes. Yes, there were two hints. All right, hint. The Sharon bit, excuse me, and the name is the acrostic. The Sharon part was not from the note. Rather, a few months before Kaduri died at age 108, he surprised his followers when he told them that he met the Messiah in his message at a synagogue on Yom Kippur. That's the Day of Atonement. And then he taught how to recognize the Messiah. He also mentioned that the Messiah would appear to Israel after Sharon's death. In other words, I'll finish. The acrostic formed the sentence, and then he will raise the people and confirm that his word and law are standing, which, as you can see by the acrostic, suggested the name Yehoshua or Jesus. Now, this is getting all already wacky. I mean, look, I wrote him back, and I said, that's that. I will put him and Yeshua Meiri on my radio show, and let's talk about Rabbi Kaduri's parting note. Let's actually translate it and not throw Jesus in when this man had nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus, but he certainly had lots to do with the Messiah. The Jews and the rabbis are waiting for their first Messiah. He wasn't waiting for Jesus. Chris would have nothing of it. Look, I said to him, come on the show and let's deal with Kaddouri's real truthful.
But you see, you're going to put somebody on who you already knew was going to say it wasn't true. So basically, Chris would be very, very foolish to go onto the program. And if this was not an impartial individual, it's somebody who has a fixed opinion, and he has a right to it, and you have a right to yours.
No,
I believe that Chris is sincere. He may be wrong. But I believe he's very sincere, and I do not believe he would intentionally say something that he didn't believe.
Let me carry on. Now, here is, again, I also know Chris's opinion, and that doesn't stop me, but we're talking about the actual follower of Rabbi Kaddouri, his closest advisor. He's no schmo, and he's honest. Now, this is Chris's answer.
You're assuming he's honest. You're assuming he's honest.
He is honest.
Okay, go ahead.
Rabbi Kaddouri was honest. They're all honest.
Okay, go ahead.
He's not honest.
But I believe Chris is honest, too. I think it's a difference of opinion.
No,
is it possible that he believes this, that he's mistaken? Are you suggesting he's intentionally lying? They intentionally wrote a book and they intentionally lied in it, knowing full well it wasn't true?
No, I wouldn't say that.
But that is what you're inferring.
No, it's not.
You go ahead.
All right. Now, here is what he replies. I didn't say he didn't believe it, my goodness, but here's his answer that it, now follow this, seriously. The angry reaction, again, of Joshua Meiri is understandable, but the book of Daniel clearly taught the Messiah would come and be cut off before the temple was destroyed in AD 70. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood. Out of the end shall be war. Desolations are decreed, DA 926. Jesus is the only viable candidate, or else Daniel was mistaken. And then Catholicism doesn't represent Jesus. And fortunately, the enemy has created a giant diversion that keeps many from realizing the Messiah has come. Many Jews are beginning to come around as the prophet Zechariah wrote of the day when Jerusalem will look upon him who he pierced and more that they cannot be far off. I didn't understand one word of this. And it certainly was way, way, way off topic. Now, I'm going to carry on with this. Then he sends me a snippet. Now, my God, he must have been searching the internet for everything on Kaddouri. And whenever he mentioned the Messiah in any context, that Messiah turned into Jesus, which it wasn't. This is from Israel Today. They got the rabbi's manuscript written in his own hand for the exclusive use of his students. Most striking were the cross-like symbols painted by Kaddouri all over the pages. In Jewish tradition, you don't make a cross, not even a plus sign, because it could be...
No, basically, Barry, this is, of course, this is the rabbi you're speaking of now. In his writings, he used the something that looked like a cross. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were speaking now of the rabbi who, at least according to Tom Horn and Chris, had suggested that he had this rabbi had converted in the latter days. And of course, it's your friend's contention that he didn't. So what was it that they sent you, the picture of his writings that had, were they crosses on it or what were they?
I didn't get that sent to me. But here's the article continuing. When asked what those symbols meant, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaddouri said they were signs of an angel. Pressed further about the meaning of the signs of the angel, he said that only his father had a spiritual relationship with God. Now, that's it. That's the whole, there is no mention of Jesus. And look, you've got to, you can't do this. It's so insulting to Jews to besmirch a rabbi like that. He didn't ever in his life mention Jesus. And by the way, he was waiting for a Messiah. Okay, that's what they do, especially 108-year-old Iraqi Jews. They're waiting for their Messiah.
Well, I think if they're all waiting for the Messiah, the question is, are we waiting for the same Messiah? Some people say the Jews are waiting for the Messiah to come. Other people say, the Christians say, well, we're waiting for the Messiah to come again. And we will disagree on that, certainly, because you're Jewish and I'm Christian. But, of course, I think that perhaps that is what Chris and Tom were thinking of when the term Messiah, well, they thought he was talking about Jesus. Go ahead.
Well, every Jewish rabbi prays for the Messiah. We've been doing that for thousands of years. But look, what Putnam and Horn did is they created a stew of unrelated facts. And they besmirched Rabbi Kaduri, but that doesn't mean they're dishonest. Now, I'm going to give you from Petros Romanus, where they quote me and Joel Bainerman, and they quote us honestly. Now, this is from Petros Romanus. And Israeli journalist Barry Chalmers has been working fearlessly for over two decades to expose a conspiracy which includes the current president of Israel, Shimon Peres, and his aide, Yossi Belin. In his 2000 book, Save Israel, Chalmers wrote, here's a quote from my book. In March of 1994, the newspaper Shishi revealed a most remarkable secret of the Middle East peace process. A friend of Shimon Peres, the French intellectual Marek Halter, claimed in an interview that in May 1993, he delivered a letter from Peres to the Pope. Within Peres' promise to internationalize Jerusalem, granting the UN political control of the old city of Jerusalem and the Vatican hegemony of the holy sites within. The UN would give the PLO a capital within its new territory, and East Jerusalem would be a kind of free trade zone of world diplomacy. Halter's claim was backed by the Italian newspaper La Stampa, which added that Arafat was apprised of the agreement and it was included in the secret clauses of the Declaration of Principles signed in Washington in September 1993. Now, me and Joel had that right before anyone else, and Horn and Putnam quoted that accurately. Now, I cannot say how grateful I am that they recognize, and they quoted Joel very well as well, they did a good job with us geopolitically.
This is Tom Horn and Chris Putnam you're speaking of. They quoted you and quoted you accurately. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Oh, yes. Geopolitically, they did fine. No problem with it. But when they get into my religion, they're not doing fine.
Okay, well, that's a bit that they certainly, and you have a right to disagree with them just as strongly as I know you do. So basically, we can still be friends, even though we may disagree on some certain things. But go
on ahead. Why would this affect our friendship?
It wouldn't.
Well, of course it wouldn't.
Couldn't. Go ahead.
Come on, you're getting...
No, I'm agreeing with you. Basically, friends can disagree, but go ahead.
If I was dishonest with you, you'd never have me on the show.
You're absolutely right. That's why I enjoy having you on, because I think you are an honest man, and I think you have some very great insight that very few people do.
Look, I want to tell you, I ended my article this way, and it's got to be understood. We, believe it or not, are on the same team, but you can't muck with religion. It's a very bad idea.
You're absolutely right.
Look, I have a serious immigration problem, and I kind of complained about it in a recent article. A friend phoned me up, and he says he has an answer to all my problems. I said, yeah, what? He said, get on your knees and pray. He didn't get it. Jews don't pray on our knees. Do you see the point?
Sure, I see the point. And basically, we have a different view of the world, but that's all right. We recognize the same enemy, and basically we want to try to preserve certainly some semblance of sanity in a world gone mad. Go ahead.
Now, let's look at this world gone mad, all right? Now, that little section that I read from Petros Romanus about Peres and what he promised the PLO, well, it's just as true today as it ever was. Get ready. Yesterday, Shimon Peres spoke at the World Economic Forum. They had a conference. And Shimon Peres told the Arab leaders that the overwhelming majority of Israeli citizens favor a return to the 1949 borders. All right? excuse me. I warned you I had a cold. Pre-67 borders.
And that, of course, is not true, as you and I both know.
Oh, what's that?
The majority of the Israelis want to return to the pre-1967 borders. It's ridiculous, but so much of what we read today is just not true. Go ahead.
Look, here's the quote. Here's what he told the forum. Israel wants peace. There is an overwhelming majority here that favors a diplomatic solution of two states for two peoples on the 1967 lines. What is he nuts? No Israeli, let's put it this way. What is a World Economic Forum, and why is he giving them such a deceitful, terribly deceitful, and wrong and lying message?
Barry, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your website, how they can get your articles and books, and then how they can get to search your PayPal button. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, I could use it. I really could. My books are at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. When you get, well, my latest book is The Stinger, Not the Stung, and people like that book. But when you talk about Paris, you can go and guest save Israel and read how I was reporting. What I'm reading to you, I was reporting in the year 2000. I hear music.
Go ahead, right ahead. I will guide you through. Go ahead.
And by the way, Tom and Chris were smart enough to spot it. I wasn't wrong, and Paris is still trying to give away Jerusalem, and he's lying to the World Economic Forum. I don't know what power they've got, but he had no right to speak on behalf of the Israeli people with that message.
Well, Chris, Peres is certainly one of the arch villains of modern times. Our guest has been Barry Shamish. We're talking certainly about the situation as it exists in Syria, the situation exists in Israel, and Chris, there's tremendous pressure on the Jewish religion today. And many Jews are very concerned, and I understand. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, there's so much. Oh, yeah, my website is barrychamish.com. Chamish is C-H-A-M-I-S-H. There is a PayPal button, and I'm a very grateful recipient, but I got to finish this off. There's a weird thing going on where the chief of IDF, chief of staff is Benny Gantz. Right now, the settlers, the Jews, in short, have no protection against, well, I'll give you the facts. This year, a rock throwing was up 4 times from the year before. Firebombs were up 3 times from the year before. It's a melee going on right now. The Jews don't have protection from their army. None. And frankly, Jerusalem is being turned over to the Arabs. Jews can't build there. What you've got is a plan to make sure the Jews simply cannot stand up to the Arabs. The Arabs built in Jerusalem freebie style. The Jews aren't allowed to. What you have right now, here's Gantz's quote. If we let go the reins, that is, if we start shooting at people who are throwing firebombs at our people, there will be escalation and we will lose control. My Lord, is that close?
With madness, you've got to be able to maintain law and order. And the one thing, of course, to have people demonstrating and marching, but when they start using firebombs and throwing rocks, this is lethal and has to be dealt with force.
Well, it's not being.
And it doesn't make sense, Barry. If you look at it logically, it doesn't make sense. So if it doesn't make sense, there must be another reason.
Look, Netanyahu, who is sacrificing Jerusalem to the Americans. Now, I don't have the time to go through his past, when the CFR got him. It was in 1977. With Mitt Romney, by the way, at the Boston Group, it's a long, long story, but I know how they got to Israel's premier. That's why Jews can't build in Jerusalem. But Jews not being protected, that is, look, the Jews don't understand. Their government is not on their side. They don't understand that. I keep trying to tell them. They don't understand it.
Well, you keep right on telling them. That's all you can do, Barry. Your job is to reach as many people as you can. And certainly, well, the Jews will listen to you rather than to me, but I agree with everything you're saying from that point of view. The Israeli government does not represent the interests of the Israeli people. We're out of time. Good night. God bless. Great
Bye.
Show. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I hope you enjoyed the program with Barry this evening. And basically, of course, Barry is one of our favorite guests, and on most things, we're in total agreement. He feels very strongly about certainly the integrity of the Jewish faith, and it would be certainly he does not believe that this rabbi converted to Christianity. I will tell you, I don't know anything about the rabbi. Maybe he didn't convert to Christianity. But I will tell you, some of the best people that I know, the most dedicated and the most effective Christians, happen to be Jewish people who've converted to Christianity. And there are many of them that are within the conservative movement and are on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men. However, we will certainly respect the opinion of the Jewish people who certainly cling to the traditional Jewish faith and try to step to an example of why, of course, hopefully they will change. But we're not going to change their attitude. That's up to God. Our job is to pray for people and certainly, but whether they become Christians or not, well, that is a personal decision on their part. But if you know somebody and you would like to have them become Christians, and I will tell you through the years, I have. When I was practicing medicine, I would pray for various doctors. It was amazing how many of them did eventually become Christians. And a lot of them that certainly I never prayed for, and they never became Christians. You have a tremendous asset at your disposal, and that is the ability to pray and to communicate with our Lord. Because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, if you'd like to get in touch with Radio Liberty, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then suddenly I'd like to point out that if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. We have a great 4-CD set written by a Jesuit priest. His name is Father Malachi Martin. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, a 4-CD set, vitally important. We have a 4-CD set on the supernatural. We have a 4-CD set of my interviews with Constance Cumby. And basically, you need to get that and her DVD, which is available from Radio Liberty, and her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, to understand the powerful occult forces that are working within the world today. And if you don't believe they're powerful occult forces, go to the Trilateral Commission website, trilateral.org. Look at their logo. They're three curved sixes. And if you have a creative imagination, you may be able to see the 666 on the inside of these arrows. But there's no question they're joined together by an upside-down broken cross, a slight modification of Nero's cross, and you can look that up on the internet, Nero's cross, and you'll see this is almost an exact simile of Nero's cross. And you remember Emperor Nero, he was the one who burned Rome down and blamed it on the Christians so we could slaughter them and use the burning Christians as torches. This is an age-old battle for the survival of Christian civilization and the souls of men. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come under increased persecution. I'm convinced as times get worse. Our job, though, is to prepare now and to certainly do everything we can to lead as many people as possible into a personal relationship with our Lord. If we get them to listen to our programs or to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and get the other material, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the 4-CD set on Sudden the Supernatural. The 4-CD set on satanic crimes, and actually, oh, William Kennedy's excellent book on satanic crimes, going into the Manson murders, certainly the Son of Sam murders. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please, please pray for America and pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because I'm firmly convinced that without revival, there is no hope for the preservation of our nation. But then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful.
Monday, 2013, you're in the right place. Whoa, glad to be back in this seat, I gotta tell you. Glad to be back in the studio after an amazing weekend. Both good and challenging. To those of you that were there, I am so honored that you would take the time to attend that meeting. The conference, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. I am thrilled to have met all of you. It was not without its, excuse me, it was not without its interesting side effects. Little challenge there. I don't know if you knew that we were in St. Charles, Missouri for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association meeting. And we had a little challenge there. There was an F3 tornado in St. Charles, actually in St. Charles. And we'll talk about it in the second hour. We'll talk more about what happened, because it was a unique experience to be with all those law enforcement people during a mass casualty. Well, it wasn't mass casualty, at least where we were, but it was an interesting scenario. I don't think I've ever met so many incredible people in one place. Those were the game changers, let me tell you. I am serious about this. Those were the game changers. Those are the people.